Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Ches, Chapter 38. This perek is the first of two prakim that talk about the war of Gog and Magog. As we've learned this sefer, we have felt it move at an increasing pace toward a climactic end. In the beginning of the sefer, the movement was from denial to the destruction of Yerushalayim. Next, we learned about the eventual destruction of the other nations. This third section has been about the time of Geula. Most recently, we heard about the prophecy of the dry bones rising and how Hashem will purify us so we will no longer sin and can live in Israel with security and serenity. This parak not naturally follows from those events. The next two prakim describe a fierce battle and its aftermath that comes after an extended period of peace and prosperity after the majority of Jews have returned to Israel. The words discussed in these two prakim are mentioned in the Sefer Zechariah as well. We read these prakim as the Haftoros and Sukkos, as there is a tradition quoted from Rav Haigon that the war will be won on Tishrei. Rav Hirsch points out in Sefer Bamidbar that the name Gog has the same root as the word Gag, roof. This nation thinks they can live without the protection of Hashem as they have created their own security. In contrast, we choose to live in a sukkah, a structure with no roof and no permanence, as we recognize that all we have is dependent on Hashem and His support. Thus, we live in a sukkah with no roof and no permanence. Gog, who views himself as having a gag, a roof, suffers under the illusion that they are more powerful than those who rely on Hashem and live in the sukkah. This battle of Gog and Magog will be settled at a time when we recognize that all we have and all we are is from Hashem. Many of us have heard about this war of Gog and Magog, and it has its place in popular culture as a time known as Armageddon. Many commentators, both ancient and modern, have tried to identify the people and place for this battle. However, we must understand that these psukim are not meant to be studied deeply. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says, "All these and similar matters cannot be definitely known by man until they occur, for these matters are undefined in the prophet's words, and even the wise man have no established tradition regarding these matters except their own interpretation of the verses. Therefore, there is a controversy among them regarding these matters." He continues, "Regardless of the debate concerning these questions, neither the order of the occurrence of these events or their precise details are among the fundamental principles of the faith. A person should not occupy himself with the agadot and midrashim concerning these and similar matters, nor should he consider them as essentials, for study of them will neither bring fear or love of God." Following the Rambam's guidance, we will learn the prakim for what they say and not extrapolate to areas which are topics of controversy. The war of Gog and Magog as described in these two prakim and in Zechariah, Yoel, and Daniel are horrific. We have a rule that any bad nevuah that is not accompanied by a swear from Hashem can be repealed. The Shemi Shmuel writes that there was a tradition that due to the length and severity of our exile, the details of how the war of Gog and Magog will be calculated may have changed, much like the expected length of Galus and Mitzrayim was shortened based on the horrors of the slavery of Egypt. As we read the Psukim, we can pray that what we read states part of the printed word only, and that we can bring about the Kiddush Hashem described in these Psukim by other means. This parak will describe the instigation and motivation of Gog to fight in the land of Israel during a time of peace, followed by a description of the battle. In the next parak, we will learn about the defeat of Gog, his army, the burial of the corpses, and a summary of the spiritual goals for this battle. Who is Gog and what is Magog? We will see later in the parak that we can't identify who that nation is today. However, the Medrash Tanchuma says that the gematria of Gog and Magog is 70, as they represent the 70 nations of the world who will attempt one final battle against Israel. The Yalkut Shimoni views Gog and Magog as an alliance of the four evil kingdoms that have separately subjugated Israel, now joining forces to conquer Israel as a unified power. Let's begin looking at what this war is about. In Pasuk Beis it tells us, "Ben Adam, Sim Panecha El Gog Eretz Hamagog, Nisi Rosh Meshach Vesuval, V'hinabei Alav." Son of man, set your face toward Gog from the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tuval, and prophesy against him. Rashi tells us that Gog is the king of Magog, and he also rules over Meshach and Tuval in some capacity. Magog, Meshach, and Tuval were all listed as descendants of Yefes in Bereishis, Perek Yod, Chapter 10. What should Yecheskel pass along to this king Gog from Hashem? Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, using terminology that is already familiar to us. Hineni Elecha Gog, Nisi Rosh Meshach Vesuval. Behold, I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tuval. Hashem continues that Gog is about to make a series of decisions that he thinks are his own to make, but truly, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Yeshavavticha v'nasati chachim b'lechayecha. And I, meaning Hashem, will turn you about and poke hooks into your jaws. Hashem is leading Gog and his nation into battle, even though it is not in their best interest, much like one leads a horse with a ring in its jaw. Magog is powerful with a great army and magnificent uniforms. Other nations who descend both from Yefes as well as Cham will join Magog in their battle plans and dress for war, Pasukei verse 5, Paras, Persia, Kush, Vefut, Gomer, based Torgama in the north. According to the Barbanel in Pasuk Zion verse 7, Hashem warns them that this war will not be an easy defeat that they are anticipating. Instead, they should be ready for battle. Hikon v'hachein l'cha, be prepared and prepare for yourself. What is the reason Hashem wants this battle? Yamim rabim tipakeid, from ancient times you will be remembered to punish you for what you did many, many years ago when Magog helped the enemies of Israel. V'acharis hashanim, at the end of days. This will happen, according to the Radak, after Bnei Yisrael were already gathered to Eretz Yisrael and living peacefully. Tavo el Eretz meshoveves mecherv mekubetzes me'amim rabim. You will come against the land that is brought back from the sword that is gathered out of many people. The Pasuk is telling us that the people of Israel who have been so oppressed had been gathered from all over the world to the land of Israel that had been so badly devastated. They have rebuilt the land from its destroyed state. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Va'alisa kashoa tavo, ke'enen lachasos ha'aretz tiyeh. And you, Gog, you will go up like a shoah, like a storm. You'll be like a cloud to cover the land. The Malbim says there will be so many people and military equipment, it will make the horizon darken, like a storm that causes the daytime sky to become gray. We have now heard that Gog is planning to fight a horrific war. Pasuk Yod, verse 10, tells us why Gog and his nation Magog are ascending to Israel for war. The Pasuk says that, Ya'alu dvarim al livavecha, things come up on your heart and they make evil plans. The Malbim explains that Gog doesn't have a clear strategy or goal for this war. At that time when the Jews are living peacefully, he'll be agitated to fight, to do evil things. Gog and his allies look at the land of Israel, where they are living in unfortified cities, in undefended villages, where people are living without worry about being attacked. The Pasuk says, Uvriyachu d'basayim ein lehem, locks and doors they don't have. For a number of years, I lived in a community that had such a low crime rate, people didn't lock their doors until there started to be break-ins. The people Gog are attacking are people who live without anticipating danger. Gog sees these places and he wants to take what they have. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, L'shlol shalal levoz vaz, v'ashiv yadcha al charavos no shavos. To take the spoil and to take prey, to turn your hand against the waste places that are now inhabited. V'al'am usaf migayim osem mikne v'kinyan. And against the people that are gathered out of the nations, that have acquired cattle and goods that dwell in the middle of the earth. He wants to destroy these people who have settled, built themselves houses, bought themselves a few animals, and made a life for themselves after a bitter galus. The Pasuk tells us where these people are. Yoshvei al tavor ha'aretz. They live at the belly button of the land. The belly button is the center of the body, much like Eretz Israel is the center of the world, and Yerushalayim is its center. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, continues with the plan of Magog. Sheva and Dedan and Tarshish, more descendants of Yefes, are coming to loot and take spoils from this peaceful nation. Pasuk Yudalad, verse 14, begins the second half of the parak. Hashem will protect his people. Hashem tells Yecheskel to tell Gog, Halo b'yom ahu b'sheves ami Yisrael levetach teda. Surely on that day when my nation Israel lives safely, you shall come to know. What shall they know? According to Rashi, they will recognize that although this nation seems unprotected because they don't even have locks on their doors, Hashem is protecting them against the attacks that are being carried out by their large army and sophisticated and numerous military equipment. During this attack, Pasuk Tezvah, verse 16, the Pasuk tells us to notice an important principle in life. Though leaders think they are the ones planning the attack or deciding the future of their nations, the Pasuk says, Vaviosicha al arzi, I, Hashem, am the one bringing you to my land. Why is Hashem doing this? L'man das ha'gayim osi b'kadshi b'chal le'enehem Gog, that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified through you, Gog, before their eyes. Through this battle, the other nations will acknowledge Hashem's greatness, and Gog is only merely a tool in Hashem's plan. Pasuk Yud Zion, verse 17, teaches us that this time period that is to come has been spoken about before. When the battle begins, people will ask, Are you whom I spoke about in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, that prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? The Malbim tells us that when this happens, there won't be a nation that is called Magog with a ruler called Gog. Rather, as these events begin, people will realize that this is what the Navi had been speaking about so many years ago. The Gemara in Sanhedrin cites an opinion that these prophets are actually referring to two prophets mentioned in the Torah in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, Eldad and Medad, who are mentioned after Moshe appointed 70 Zukanim, 70 elders to serve along with him. Eldad and Medad began having a nevuah, according to the Gemara, regarding the war of Gog and Magog at that time. What is the connection between Eldad and Medad, the 70 Zukanim in the Midbar, and Gog and Magog? The Maharal explains that just as there are 70 nations, there are 70 elders that form the Sanhedrin. The power of the Torah and Kedusha of the 70 counteract the negative plans of the 70 foreign powers. Therefore, at the time when the original Sanhedrin was founded, at the time of Eldad and Medad, they could foresee the ultimate downfall of the 70 nations. Pasuk Yutes, verse 19, when Hashem's anger against Og and Magog rises, Yerash Gadol al Admas Yisrael, there will be a great shaking in the land of Israel. The Radak tells us this Ra'ash, shaking, is mentioned in Zechariah, where it causes Harazesim, the Mount of Olives, to split into two. The Abarbanel and Mesus David say that this is not a literal earthquake, but a metaphor for the impact the battle will have on the world. The Rash, the upheaval, will extend to what it says in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. The fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the beasts of the field, and all the creeping things that creep upon the ground, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Chazal discuss in Gemara Shabbos, 118b, how we can survive this war. They say, Kol hamakayim shalosh sudos b'Shabbos nitzol mishalosh pronios. Anyone who upholds having three meals on Shabbos are saved from three events, mechevlo shal Mashiach, from the birth pangs of Mashiach, which are the disruptions that come prior to the Messianic era, midinam shal Gehenim, from the severe judgments of Gehenim, and mimamlachos Gog and Magog, from the war of Gog and Magog. If we make the effort to infuse our meals on Shabbos, our food, with the holiness and calm of Shabbos, we will have that merit serve us during the chaotic times of the future, including the war of Gog and Magog. After this rash, this loud, panicky upheaval, the invading armies will start to fight against each other. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, Cherv Ish Be'achiv Tiyeh. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. The psukim continue with a frightening description. Hashem will spread on them dever, pestilence, dam, blood, and rains on them storms of water, hailstone, and sulphurous fire. The Midrash Tanhuma notes the clear parallels between these punishments for Gog and the 10 makos that were carried out against Mitzrayim. It says that all the makos in Mitzrayim were going to be brought at this final battle. Why is this necessary? Surely Hashem could have been creative and found other punishments. Rav Eisman gives a beautiful explanation. He says that these psukim are showing there is an arc of history. Paro tried to destroy this nation at its formation. Gog, with all of his armies, comes at the end of time to try to finish the job. In both cases, it seems like they had the upper hand. Both Paro and Gog and their nations will be decimated by nature, which Hashem harnesses to save his people. The result is, as described in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, with a phrase familiar to us from the Kaddish prayer, Visgadalti visgadashti, so I will be exalted and sanctified, v'nodati le'enei goyim rabim v'yadu ki ani Hashem, and I will become known in the eyes of the many nations, and they shall know that I am Hashem. The purpose of all the galus and chorban mentioned in the Sefer, and truly all the events of history, will find their purpose at the time of Gog and Magog as expressed in this pasuk. All of humanity will recognize Hashem, and Hashem's name will be exalted and sanctified, as they will know that ein od milvado, there is no one else aside from Hashem. This parak tells us of a battle at the end of time, where Hashem will bring the descendants of Yefes to fight the land of Israel, which is sitting in peace and serenity. This battle is orchestrated by Hashem to finish the judgments against these nations, and they will be destroyed. This will result in a Kiddush Hashem, which is the goal of all creation. This parak is only the first of three battles against the Gog and Magog. In the next parak, we will learn about the second of the battles in this war. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Basvi, Yosef.